Genesis 30, verses 25 through chapter 31, verse 55. Tonight, we're going to look at our passage three ways. First, we're going to overview it. Secondly, we're going to outline it. And then thirdly, we're going to study it verse by verse. So let's overview it firstly. Jacob, after working 14 years for Leah and Rachel, came to Laban, their father, and said, "It's time for me to take my wives and my children back to my homeland of Canaan." Now Laban, who was blessed by Jacob being there, begged him to stay. Laban even asked him what he wanted him to give Jacob. Now that's, for Laban, that's pretty big. He also asked Jacob, "Hey, what do you want your salary to be?" So Laban asked him, "Hey, pick your salary." That's really big for Laban. So he really wanted him to stay there. Jacob replied, "I don't want you to give me anything. I will serve you for a time under one condition, that I can have all the brown lambs and streaked and spotted sheep and goats." And Laban agreed to Jacob's request. Before he went to work, Jacob told Laban, "Just so you know in the future that I'm righteous, I want you to take all the brown lambs and the speckled and spotted sheep and goats and take them all away." Jacob would start with nothing under impossible odds. Now this, of course, as you know, made Laban happy. As you can imagine, he was like, "Oh, right, yeah, cha-ching, you know, this is cool." Now Laban took a three-day journey away, took all those animals 3 days away just so there could be no question. Jacob got to work using his shepherding expertise. He was like this sheep whisperer, or whatever you want to call him. Over a period of 6 years, God blessed Jacob with a large and strong flock of brown lambs and speckled and spotted sheep and goats. Laban was left with a weak flock. When Laban and his sons saw how God blessed Jacob, they became jealous and started to gossip about Jacob. Now, at this time, Jacob began feeling, again, it was time to go. God also confirmed to Jacob that it was time to go by speaking to him. Jacob then went to his wives and told them that, why he thought it was time to go, and he gave them a couple reasons why. Jacob's wives agreed with Jacob, so secretly they packed up their stuff and left Laban's house and when he was away shearing sheep. When Laban heard that Jacob and his family had left, he was not happy. He immediately grabbed a group of guys and rode a week to catch up with them. When Laban was on his journey, God spoke to him and told Laban, "Hey, watch what you say to my servant, Jacob." Laban finally caught up to Jacob, and the family feud then began in the mountains of Gilead. Laban and Jacob had a heated conversation which ended in a covenant. The chapter ends with Laban leaving in the morning and Jacob going forward to the land of Canaan. Now, our outline for this passage, I have seven breaks in this text. First, in verses 25 through 30, we have Jacob's request to leave and Laban's request for Jacob to stay. Secondly, in verses 31 through 36, we have Jacob agrees to stay and work for a while under his conditions. Thirdly, verses 37 through 43, God blesses Jacob's work. And then in chapter 31, verses 1 through 3, Jacob is told by God to leave Laban's house. Verses 4 through 16, Jacob tells his two wives that it's time to leave their father's house. Sixthly, verses 17 through 24, Jacob and his family leave secretly and Laban finds out. And then seventhly, in verses 25 through 55, Jacob and Laban have a heated conversation and make a covenant. Now, let's study this passage verse by verse. As we do, we'll see the following teaching. We'll see that God is faithful to His covenants. God is faithful to His covenants. God established what we call an unconditional covenant with Abraham. An unconditional covenant is exactly what it's called, an unconditional covenant. It cannot be broken. It is not based upon man's faithfulness, but based upon God's faithfulness. And God is always faithful. A covenant is an agreement between two people. And so this was an agreement between Abraham and God that God would continually be faithful to. And the covenant consisted of God blessing Abraham. And from him would come the Messiah in a great nation. This covenant was passed on to Isaac, Abraham's son. And later, as we saw in Bethel, it was passed on to Jacob. Now, because of this covenant at Bethel, we're going to see that Jacob becomes very prosperous and his children are going to become very prosperous because God is making the great nation of Israel, which is going to bear the Messiah. As we look at this passage, we'll see the covenant that God has made with us through the cross of Jesus Christ. And just as God blessed Jacob through his unconditional covenant, physically, Ephesians 1:3 tells us that God blesses you and I as Christians spiritually through the covenant, the new covenant that Jesus Christ made through the cross. You remember what Jesus said, "This is my blood of the new covenant which I have shed for you." So Jesus entered into an unconditional covenant with us when we believed in his death and resurrection for us. And because of that, God is going to bless us. Not physically, we can't be health and wealth people, but spiritually, we have received all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Now let's begin looking at this passage in verses 25 through 30. We'll see Jacob requests to leave, and Laban begs Jacob to stay. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said to Laban, "Stay with me, send me away, that I may go to my own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me go, for you know my service which I have done for you." And Laban said to him, "Please stay, if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake." Then he said, "Name me your wages, and I will give it." Jacob's 14 years for serving Laban were over. So Jacob told Laban that, as I said, he wanted to take his family back to Canaan. Laban immediately began to beg Jacob to stay. Now, Laban was a tightwad with his money. He did not want to give out money. And so by him telling Jacob to pick his salary was something pretty amazing. Why was Laban so nice? Was he just a good guy? I think not. Verse 27 tells us why. It wasn't because Laban liked Jacob. It wasn't because Laban wanted to see his grandkids. Could have been. But we're told it was because he knew by experience that God was blessing Jacob. And as a result, he was being blessed by Jacob being there. And so he's like, "Hey, Jake, don't go anywhere. God's blessing you, and as a result, I'm being blessed." And so he wanted to say, Laban was always money-minded. You know, as soon as he heard that Abraham's servant was out there, you know, and he saw the jewels that Rebekah had, we're told that he ran out there, Genesis 24. And then, you know, as soon as he heard that Jacob's there, he thinks, "Oh, man, he's a descendant of Abraham. We know he's got money." So he ran out there and said, "Hey, come on inside." And we see that, you know, he's been, getting over on Jacob for money and all that. And so Laban's money consumed. Now notice it says in this verse that Laban learned that God had blessed Jacob by experience. Scholars say this phrase can be translated "learned by divination." Laban was involved in what we call the occult. As we'll see, Laban had little gods that he worshipped. Now no wonder Jacob wanted to leave and go back to Canaan. You know, here he is, he has these kids, and he wants to raise them in a godly environment, and grandpa is here worshiping these little idols, these little statues. He's like, "Okay, you know, we have to get these kids out of here." Verse 29, "So Jacob said to him, 'You know how I have served you and how your livestock have been with me. For what you had before I came was little, and it has increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming, and now, when shall I also provide for my own house?'" Jacob agreed with Laban. He said, "Yeah, you know what? The Lord has blessed you because of me." But Jacob said in verse 30, "The problem is that you're keeping all the money. Now, when am I going to be able to provide money for my own family?" Well, that's great. You know, "Dad, you know, you're keeping all the money that I'm getting, but my kids aren't going to get any money because you're keeping all of their inheritance." Now, our second point, verses 31 through 36, we see that Jacob agrees to stay for a while under one condition. So he said, "What shall I give you?" And Jacob said, "You shall not give me anything. If you will do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep your flocks. Let me pass through all your flocks today, removing from there all the speckled and spotted sheep, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and these shall be my wages." Now Jacob told Laban he didn't want a free lunch. Rather, he would work for his keep. Jacob agreed to work for Laban if he could have all the brown lambs and all the speckled and spotted sheep and goats which were born. Now, Jacob told him that he would not take any other colored animal. If he had these other colored animals, then the ones he said, they would be considered stolen. But hey, I'm a thief if I have these other ones. Verse 33, "So my righteousness will answer for me in time to come, when the subject of my wages has come before you. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the lambs will be considered stolen if it is with me." And Laban said, "Oh, that it was according to your word." So he removed that day the male goats that were speckled and spotted, all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, everyone that had some white in it, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and gave them into the hand of his sons. Then he put 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flock. Vine's dictionary says the following concerning the phrase, "My righteousness will answer to me," and I quote, the King James Version gives the following translation of this Hebrew word, which I cannot pronounce. "So shall my righteousness answer for me in this time to come, when it shall come for my hire before thy face." The NASB gives the word righteousness in a marginal note, but prefers the word honesty in the text itself. The NEB reads fair offer instead. Finally, the NIV has, "And my honesty will testify for me in the future, whenever you check on the wages you have paid me." So not only in the future would Laban know that Jacob was honest by not having any brown lambs and speckled and spotted goats, he would also prove to Laban that he was righteous by his methods. He would prove to him that he was blessed by God. Verses 35 and 36 tell us how Laban would know this. He was to go through the flock and remove all of the brown lambs and the speckled and spotted goats. This would leave Jacob with only solid black goats, black goats and only white sheep. So basically, Jacob was starting with absolutely nothing. His wages would be the off-colored babies from the black goats and the white sheep. The odds were against Jacob. Now this is why Laban said, "Oh, that it would be according to your word." In English terms, cha-ching, you know, he's like, "Hey, go ahead, son-in-law, do it. Oh, that it will be according to your word." Laban in his mind thought dollar signs. You know, he was going to get rich. He's like, "Oh, this kid, okay, go for it. Yeah, you can do that." Now our third point, verses 37 through 43. In these verses, we'll see that God blesses Jacob's work. Now Jacob took for himself rods of green poplar and of white almond and chestnut trees, peeled white strips in them, and exposed the white which was in the rods. And the rods which he had peeled, he set before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs where the flocks came to drink, so that they should conceive when they came to drink. So the flocks conceived before the rods, and the flocks brought forth speckled and spotted. Now Jacob used some interesting methods in order to make these goats and lambs produce. We're told that Jacob grabbed poplar, almond, and chestnut branches, peeled them, and then placed them into watering troughs. Now, Bible teachers say that Jacob did this for two possible reasons. First, Jacob did this so when the animals saw the branches in front of their face, they conceived. This could mean that the sight affected them. Secondly, some say Jacob did this because something from these branches, maybe the bacteria, in the water caused them to conceive. So, you know, this sounds kind of plausible also. Now, not only is there opinions on why Jacob put the rods in the troughs, but scholars also debate on whether this method actually worked or not. Let me give you the two sides for that. The first is held by Warren Wiersbe, which is a great Bible scholar. He says, and I quote, "Jacob's peeled sticks belonged in the same category as Rachel's mandrakes. They were both superstitious practices that had nothing to do with what actually happened. It was God who controlled the genetic structures of the animals and multiplied the spotted and striped sheep and goats, thus increasing Jacob's wealth very quickly." And so Wiersbe, along with a lot of other folks, say, you know what? Yeah, Jacob was just, you know, using, you know, superstitious practices such as the mandrakes. You know what? God blessed him. And that's why he was blessed. On the other hand, you have guys like Dr. Henry Morris, who wrote the book Genesis Record. Now he says, and I quote, bear with me, this is kind of a long quote. He says, "There is a great deal, even today, that scientists have not been able to work out concerning the transmission of hereditary factors. In a certain population, there are multitudes of different characteristics which appear in different individual animals of that species. The variational potential in the DNA molecular structure is tremendous. Exactly what it is that determines the actual characteristics a particular individual may have out of all potential characteristics that are theoretically available in the gene pool is not yet known in any significant degree. It may be that Jacob learned certain things about these animals which modern biologists have not yet approached. There are indeed certain factors which can become prenatal influences, which can determine to some degree the physical characteristics of the prodigy. Though it is very unlikely that an external image can be transmitted through the visual apparatus to the brain and thence in some way as a signal to the DNA structure is to specify certain characteristics to be triggered in the embryo, it is nevertheless true that certain chemicals can and do have a significant prenatal influence. If they reach the embryo prior to conception, the DNA in the germ cells. It is possible that certain chemicals in the wood of these trees, peeled rods, which were actually in the water, which the fox came to drink, were capable somehow of affecting the animals. If nothing else, water treated thus may have served as an aphrodisiac and fertility promoter among the cattle. At least one such chemical substance found in these trees has been used for such a purpose in both ancient and modern times. Further, whether or not the sense of sight can actually mark the embryo in some way, there is no doubt that what one sees may have a strong effect on certain psychological mechanisms in the body. The phenomenon of blushing and of the nausea reaction produced by viewing gruesome sights, the effect of pornographic pictures in stimulating the sexual apparatus, is typical case in point. The mere sight of the stripped rods may have served simply as an aphrodisiac to the cattle when they came to drink. This, in fact, seems indicated by verse 38, in which the word translated conceive in the King James Version is actually the Hebrew word yakam, meaning to be hot. This is, the verse may be read, and he set the rods which he peeled before the fox in the gutters in the watering troughs when the fox came to drink, and in some way, not understood, but apparently confirmed by many practical animal raisers since the sight of white streaked rods seems to stimulate these animals to sexual activity. All things considered, it seems most likely that this is what Jacob had in mind. He wanted to speed up the reproduction process and induce the animals to have as many offspring as possible in the shortest time possible. This would presumably benefit Laban even more than himself, since most of the animals should be of normal type. But statistically, he knew that certain proportion would be spotted. The more animals born, the sooner there would be the characteristics he was looking for. So another interesting point. So he is saying, listen, these things would actually make these animals go into heat. And, you know, and as a result of them going to heat, they would have a lot of babies. And, you know, if they had enough babies, eventually they would have a spotted or striped goat. And then he would say, oh, okay, I'll take this one and take the other one that were born, and I would breed them together, and they would, these kinds of animals. Could be, we don't know. If this explanation by Dr. Morris is correct, this would explain what Jacob did in the following verses. Verse 40. Then Jacob separated the flocks and made the flocks face towards the streak, and all the brown of the flock of Laban. But he put his own flocks by themselves and did not put them with Laban's flock. And it came to pass, whenever the stronger livestock conceived, that Jacob placed the rods before the eyes of the livestock in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the flocks were feeble, he did not put them in. So the feebler were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. Thus the man became exceedingly prosperous, and had large flocks, female and male servants, and camels and donkeys. And so Jacob separated his flock from Laban's in order to make his flock stronger. He used the rods then when the stronger sheep and goats came to the troughs. And so, you know, when the stronger ones came, he put the rods in there, which, as Dr. Morris said, you know, would speed up, you know, their sexuality. You know, they would desire to go into heat, and then they would therefore have more strong babies. And so it's basically like, you know, he's working with genetics here. The result, we're told in verse 42, was Jacob's flock was very large and strong, and Laban's was weak because he didn't use the rods with Laban's flock. The end of this chapter tells us that Jacob was very prosperous. Now, as I said, just as God blessed Jacob through his covenant, in the same way God blesses us through our covenant through Jesus Christ. Yes, you know, whether Jacob was using superstition or whether Jacob was actually using practices that he learned, it doesn't matter. God was blessing him. You know, God had his hand upon him. He promised that he would bless him, and God was blessing him. Well, in the same way, you know what, when we give our life to Jesus Christ, the Bible says that God will bless us. Ephesians 1:3, as I said, says that the Father has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. It doesn't say he will bless us, but it says he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Now, the Bible doesn't promise, you know, New Testament Christians physical blessings, you know, but we are promised spiritual blessings. Now, you and I are already blessed. These blessings come through the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. If you want to look at what it looks like to be spiritually blessed, just look at the life of Jesus. That is where the complete work of the Holy Spirit is seen. Isaiah 11:2 says the following concerning the work of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' life. I'll just read it to you. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, talking about Jesus, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Wow, that's blessings right there. And that is available to us as Christians through the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. We can have wisdom, yeah, to make right decisions in life. We can have understanding. We can have counsel. Wow, that's a big thing. People would save a lot of money if they would just become a Christian, right? We can have counsel from the Lord. We can seek the Lord. He's our wonderful counselor, the Bible says. We can have might. We can have strength to endure this hard life. And we can have the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. It's what a blessing we have as Christians. Now, our fourth point in chapter 31, verses 1 through 3, we'll see in these verses that Jacob realizes that it's time to go back to Canaan. Now, Jacob heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what was our father's he has acquired all this wealth. And Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed, it was not favorable towards him as before. Now, problems began in the family because Jacob was wealthy, and even though he was righteous, they were still mad at him. Jacob's problems consisted of his brother-in-law's, they were gossiping about him. Now, notice what they were saying. They said Jacob, took away everything that was Laban's. Jacob didn't take away anything that was Laban's. He started with nothing, as you can remember. Also, they said here that Jacob has acquired his wealth, from our father's wealth. Well, yes, that's right. But you know what? Your father agreed to that. And so Laban, asked him, hey, what do you want me to give you? Jacob said, okay, well, you know what? I'll start with this flock here and take all these other animals and then what I get from them. And so they just had everything twisted up and backwards. That's what jealousy does to people. It twists them up and makes them all crazy. The other problem was dad, Laban, who himself told Jacob he can do whatever he wanted. He can have whatever he wanted. Now he was jealous. He was bitter and he was resentful towards Jacob. He can even see it in his face. Before it was like, oh, son. Now when he comes over, he's like, he just had that sneering look. Kind of like, when a guy goes over, to date a guy's daughter, and they have that look in their eyes. There's death in the air. You can just sense it was that kind of, a thing. Then, verse 3, then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you. God confirmed, no doubt, what Jacob already felt in his heart. Wiersbe points out that God spoke to Jacob in every crisis point in his life. Leaving home, in Genesis 28:12-15. Returning home, here in Genesis 31:1-3. Meeting Esau, in chapter 32:24. Visiting Bethel, in chapter 35:1, and moving to Egypt in chapter 46:1-4. And so God spoke to Jacob. And I love that. He always intervened because Jacob was God's child. Jacob wasn't doing this covenant thing on his own. He didn't have the promise of bringing forth the Messiah, from his line on his own. It was God sovereignly in control, of this whole thing. Now, because of the cross of Jesus Christ and the covenant that we have entered into with God through faith, God, the Bible says, has not left us orphans, but he has given us the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. That's a blessing, Just think about what the disciples thought. They'd been with Jesus for 3.5 years. Jesus did everything for them. And now Jesus said, hey guys, by the way, I'm leaving and you guys are going to have to do this ministry thing. But he says, don't worry. I'm not going to leave you orphans, but I will send another helper. Another means of the same kind. So basically, Jesus said, you don't have to worry about it. The Holy Spirit is going to be exactly like me. He's God, just like me. And he's going to leave you. I'm not leaving you orphans. So as Christians, we've been blessed with spiritual blessings because we have the Holy Spirit with us, ministering to us and leading us and guiding us. Our fifth point is in verses 4 through 16. Jacob tells his two wives that it's time to leave their father's house. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field and to his flock, and said to them, I see your father's countenance that is not favorable towards me as before. But God of my fathers has been with me, and you know that with all my might I have served your father. Yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God did not allow him to hurt me. If he said thus, speckled shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore speckled. And if he said thus, streaked shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore streaked. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. Jacob brought forth a case to Rachel and Leah, why they should leave their father's house and go to Canaan. Jacob's case consisted of a couple arguments. We see the first two in these verses. First, Jacob said, you know what, your dad's a crook. He's deceived me many times. He's changed my wages a bunch of times. I can't work for a dad anymore. He's just not honest. Secondly, he said that their dad was angry at him, and it wasn't his fault. It was God who had blessed him and made him prosperous. He says, listen, I can't be around your dad anymore. He hates me. And he hates me because God is blessing me. Now, Jacob continues his case in verses 10 through 13. And it happened at the time when the flocks conceived that I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream. And behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. Then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said to him, here I am. And he said, lift up your eyes now and see. All the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. For I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land, and return to your land of your family. So Jacob told his wives that it was not just, him trying to get out of his circumstances, but God spoke to him and told him to go back to the land of Canaan. God was faithful to him. He said, listen, I'm the God who appeared to you at Bethel. I'm the God, who sent his son to die for you on the cross. Listen, follow my word. Trust in me. I didn't let Laban hurt you. I've been with you the whole time. Now notice his wife's response in verses 14 through 16. Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, is there still any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not considered strangers by him? For he has sold us and also completely consumed our money. For all these riches which God has taken away or taken from our father are really ours and our children's. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do it. So Rachel and Leah told Jacob that they agreed. They had no reason to stay with their father. He sold them to Jacob. They can't really trust him. He also used all their dowry money, and all their inheritance money. He liquidated all their savings. Good old dad. Now notice at what they say at the end. It says, hey, if God spoke to you, do it. That's a wise thing right there. Hey, listen, if God's leading you, then do it. We'll follow. Now our sixth point, verses 17 through 24. We'll see that Jacob and his family leave, and Laban finds out. Then Jacob rose and set his sons and his wives on camels, and he carried away all his livestock and all his possessions which he gained, his acquired livestock which he gained in Paddan Aram, to go to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. Jacob loaded up the family on their camel-lack escalades. Also, we're told that there were some camels loaded up following him. So Jacob was rich, so he had camel-like escalades. And Jacob also, we're told, took his flocks and his herds. Now, can you imagine the task of getting all of these kids and stuff together for this move? They didn't have, just car seats, to where you can kind of strap the kid in, be like, hey, honey, stay with him out in the car. I got to run in and get some things. Oh, no. They had to load all these kids up on these camels. I don't know how many camels they had, but they probably had a lot. And so, they had to get all this stuff together, four wives, all these kids. The kids are, there could have been some kind of division between the wives, and stuff like that. And it was just a rough thing, but they did it. They went on their way. Now, Laban had gone, verse 19, to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the household idols that were her father's. And Jacob stole away, unknown to Laban the Syrian, and that he did not tell him that he indeed intended to flee. So he fled with all that he had. He arose and crossed the river and headed towards the mountains of Gilead. And Laban was told on the third day that Jacob had fled. Then he took his brethren with him and pursued him for 7 days' journey. And he overtook him in the mountains of Gilead. But God had come to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said to him, be careful that you speak to Jacob, neither good nor bad. Jacob and his family left when Laban was 3 days away shearing his sheep. Now Jacob left unknown because he feared his crazy father-in-law. Now when he found out, he immediately gathered a group of men and proceeded 7 days to catch up with them. Now notice that God spoke to him on the way. And God said to him, basically in plain English, be cool. Hey, just be cool. You know, I got my eye on you, Laban. Now Laban overtook him and later in the mountains of Gilead. Now don't overlook the fact that Rachel stole her father's pagan gods. Why would she steal her father's pagan gods? It's because she wanted the money from them. They said, hey, listen, we have no inheritance. We have to leave with something. So she stole her dad's pagan gods, which were more than likely made out of gold. Now, why serve a god that you can steal? You know, I mean, he was serving a god that you can steal. I'm glad that we don't serve a god like that. Our God is powerful. As we learned this morning, the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. The same material and minerals that, you know, Laban's gods were made out of are the same minerals that our God made. He spoke them into existence by his divine fiat. You know, we have a powerful God. We serve a mighty God. God also blessed Jacob by protecting him. You know, and that shows us something else that we receive through our covenant, you know, through faith in Jesus Christ. It is God promises us never to leave us or forsake us. God will always protect us. We're called children of God. You know, the Apostle John says that, beloved, now you are children of God. You know, and it has not yet been appeared what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. You know, we're children of God. God looks at us as a child. Now, we love our kids, and we'll do anything for our kids. We'll protect them, you know, from the wolves, you know, if we're in the mountains. We'll always protect our children. Well, in the same way, because of the covenant that God made with us through Jesus Christ, God will promise us that he will always protect us. We can rest and trust in that. Now, our last point, in verses 25 through 55, in these verses we'll see that Jacob and Laban have a heated conversation and make a covenant. Verse 25, so Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mountains of in the mountains, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mountains of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, what have you done that you have stolen away unknown to me and carried away my daughters like captives taken with the sword? Why did you flee away secretly and steal away from me and not tell me? For I might have sent you away with joy and songs, with timbrel and harps. Yeah, right. And you did not allow me to kiss my sons and my daughters. Now you have done foolishly in doing so. It is in my power to do you harm. But the God of your father spoke to me last night, saying, be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad. And now you have surely gone because you greatly long for your father's house. But why did you steal away my gods? So Laban tried to pull the guilt trip on his old son-in-law here. You know, he asked him, he said, listen, why did you leave when I was gone? I didn't even get to kiss my grandkids. Why did you take my daughters away like you were holding a gun to their head, basically, what he was saying. Now, I find it interesting that he says here, listen, I could have done you harm, but God spoke to me. I would think that that might indicate that Laban probably would have done his son-in-law some harm if God did not speak to him. Laban was not a very peaceful guy. He doesn't sound very peaceful in this passage. Now, I find it interesting that he says, why did you steal away my gods? You know? Now, Jacob, after being blessed by God right in front of him, still served pagan idols. You know, I mean, you can serve the Lord and the Lord can do great things. He can even reveal miracles. Oh, we want to see more miracles in the church. Hey, praise the Lord, that would be cool. But that doesn't necessarily mean that people would turn from their idols, covetousness, and the different works of the flesh, different things like that. I mean, in the book of Revelation, we're going to see that God is going to be pouring judgments upon the earth. And people are going to still continue in their abominable ways. You know, and so, you know, we just need to serve the Lord and preach the gospel. And if people don't get saved, it's not our fault. But it's because of their foolish hearts and their free will. They choose to reject the Lord. Verse 31, then Jacob answered and said to Laban, because I was afraid, for I said, perhaps you would take your daughters from me by force. With whomever you find your gods, do not let them live. In the presence of your brethren, identify what I have of yours and take it with you. For Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen them. Jacob responds to Laban's question by saying, listen, I left because I was afraid of you, and I thought that you would take your daughters away from me. Now, I think Jacob had a good point there. I think he would have. Now, in regards to Laban's gods, Jacob didn't know that Rachel stole them. And so he was pretty bold and confident. He said, listen, search out anything, you know, just to show you that we didn't steal them. Whoever you find it with, you know, kill them. He's making a pretty harsh statement because he thought that they didn't have him. Verse 33, "And Laban went into Jacob's tent, into Leah's tent, into the two maids' tents, but he did not find them. Then he went out of Leah's tent and entered Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the household idols, put them in the camel saddle, and sat on them. And Laban searched all about the tent, but did not find them. And she said to her father, 'Let it not displease my lord that I cannot arise before you, for the manner of woman is with me.' And he searched, but did not find the household idols." Laban wanted to find these household idols, so he went from tent to tent. Finally, he came into Rachel's tent, and Rachel hid the gods underneath her camel's saddle and sat on them. When her dad came through and was searching around the tent, he came to her, and he wanted to look under the cattle. And Rachel said, "Dad, I can't get up. You know, it's my time of the month." Verse 36, "Then Jacob was angry and rebuked Laban. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, 'What is my trespass? What is my sin that you have so hotly pursued me? Although you have searched all my things, what part of your household things have you found? Set it here before my brethren and your brethren, that they may judge between us both. These 20 years I have been with you, and your ewes and your female goats have not miscarried their young, and I have not eaten the rams of your flock. That which was torn by beasts I did not bring to you. I bore the loss of it. You required it from my hand, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. There I was, in the day the drought consumed me, in the frost by night, and my sleep departed from my eyes. Thus I have been in your house 20 years. I served you 14 years for your two daughters, and 6 years for your flock, and you have changed my wages 10 times. Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night." Jacob had enough, pretty much. He saw his father-in-law going through these tents, and he just had enough. He says, "You know what? I'm done. You know, I can't let this guy take authority over me anymore." And so Jacob just blew up. He says, "Listen, what have I done to you? What have I done to you, you know, that you've treated me like this? I worked hard for you, and I've been a faithful employee, yet you have changed my wages. You have deceived me, and you have cheated me." He says, "I know that if God didn't speak to you last night, you know, you would have sent me back to Canaan empty-handed. I would have came back to Canaan just as I came to Paddan Aram with nothing." Verse 43, "And Laban answered and said to Jacob, 'These daughters are my daughters, and these children are my children. This flock is my flock. All that you see is mine. But what can I do this day to these my daughters or to their children whom they have borne? Now therefore come, let us make a covenant, you and I, and let it be a witness between you and me.'" Laban was a very prideful and possessive man, as you can tell. He said that everything was his. "This is mine. Those daughters you see, they're all mine." He was wrong. You know, it was all Jacob's. Jacob had earned those things. He had worked for them. Those were his wages. Now Laban wants to establish a covenant now with Jacob, verse 45. "So Jacob took a stone and set it up as a pillar. Then Jacob said to his brethren, 'Gather stones.' And they took stones and made a heap, and they ate there on the heap. Laban called it Jegar Shalutha, but Jacob called it Gilead." The covenant that Jacob and Laban made consisted of a pillar and stones, which they ate off of. The eating off of it considered peace. You know, they would eat off it, share with one another, and this symbolized, you know, that there was peace then between them. Now we're given the covenant and its conditions in verses 48 through 53. "And Laban said, 'This heap is a witness between you and me. Therefore, this heap is a witness between you and me. Therefore, its name was called Gilead. Also Mizpah, because he said, "May the Lord watch between you and me when we are absent from one another. If you afflict my daughters, or if you take other wives besides my daughters, although no man is with us, see, God is witness between you and me.' Then Laban said to Jacob, 'Here is the heap, and here is the pillar, which I have placed between you and me. This heap is a witness, and this pillar is a witness, that I will not pass beyond this heap to you, and you will not pass beyond this heap and this pillar to me for harm.' Then the God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, and the God of their father judge between us." And Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. So this covenant was established as a reminder of God watching over them. Basically, it was a reminder of saying, "Hey, listen, if you do something wrong, God's watching you, and he's going to strike you down," basically. It's pretty much what he meant. The marker served as a marking point to where it told Jacob, listen, you can't go over here to harm me, and I can't pass here to harm you. So that was the conditions for the covenant. Verse 54, then Jacob offered a sacrifice on the mountain and called his brethren to eat bread. And they ate bread and stayed all night on the mountain. And early in the morning, Laban arose and kissed his sons and daughters and blessed them. Then Laban departed and returned to his place. So Jacob offered a sacrifice to God on the mountain and fellowshiped with his family. The next morning, Laban said goodbye and blessed his grandkids and went home. In closing, because of the covenant that God has made with us through the cross of Jesus Christ, we, like Jacob, are to obey God's voice and to continually, daily move forward and abide and be abandoned to the Holy Spirit. Amen?